challenge. I started it with some other people based in the local community in 1988. It was supposed to be a year project because I only called it Challenge 89. And then time rolled on. 1990 came along and I thought, well, I'll call it Challenge 2000. It'll never be going in Challenge 2000, the year 2000, because we will have solved poverty, youth crime, anxiety, depression, illness, and all the things that are so endemic in our society. That didn't happen. So Challenge has grown and grown and works with all sorts of people in the Wellington region and at times further afield. So basically, as Dave said, I'm a Catholic by tradition, and I grew up in a working-class suburb in Napier, and very much on a diet of two pieces of scripture. One was Luke 4, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to proclaim liberty to captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, to set the downtrodden free, and to proclaim a good time for everyone." Well, he didn't actually say that exactly, but that's what he meant, I'm sure. The other one was Matthew. "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me, thirsty and you gave me to drink, in prison and you visited me," and all the other parts of that. And I sort of, growing up in the 70s, the 60s, 70s, and then university in the 80s, actually university in the 70s, working as a young social worker in the 80s, they were very exciting times. They were times when so many things seemed possible, and so many new models of Christianity, of ecumenism, of working together with other faith traditions, of being one community and one Aotearoa New Zealand, almost seemed manageable. So that was my background, particularly after my parents both grew up in the Depression, and my father fought in World War II. And so I was that generation where my parents were very, very committed to making sure that society was better and fairer, and that myself and my siblings would never have to go through anything like what they went through. So the history of my family and the gospel and Christianity integrated and basically, I think, helped me become a social worker. So Challenge 2000 is committed to responding to the gospel by working with people in the search for personal dignity, social justice, and social responsibility. They are the three values that are the foundation of our work. Put simply, they respect self, respect others, and respect this place, Aotearoa New Zealand, and the globe, and all of the people who live in it. So Challenge works with all people. We work with all traditions. We're absolutely inclusive, because if you believe in the good news, that's all you can be, if we were to take it completely seriously. When I started it in 1988, the major model of the time in social work was Mason Dury's model called Te Whare Tapa Whā. So 1988, that is what Challenge was based on. And that's also what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight, because I think, I mean, I'm a bit confused sometimes. People seem to always want to come up with better and different models. And so there's been developments of that, but I'm pretty happy with that model. Because I think as a Christian and as a community of believers, regardless of what our particular tradition is, it's a model which makes sense. So just for those of you who may not have heard of it, or just to recap it. So the first one is Taha Tinana, which is about the body. We are all physical beings. You know, we have bodies. That's us. Taha Wairua, which is about spirituality. I think some famous chap, was it Teilhard de Chardin, said we are spiritual beings having a human experience. That's who we are. We all have a Wairua. We all have a spirit. We all have a soul. I'm sure there's different names depending on the different traditions. We are more than human. And we all have a capacity of faith. We have a capacity to have faith. We have a capacity to let that faith energize us so we serve in our particular traditions. Everyone has a Māori or an ihi, a life force. And this determines who we are, both as individuals and as collectives, regardless of traditions. It gives energy and life to who we are, where we're going, and where we've come from. And then there's Taha Whānau, which is all about family. You know, John Donne wrote that famous poem, was it No Man is an Island, 100,000 years ago, it seems. Like, we are born to be together. We are not born to be alone. And you understand why I'm saying this. When we think sometimes of the kids I work with who may not be leaving their bedroom and are stuck in there with their device because they're so anxious they can't get out. Like, we're not born to be like that. I think we're born to be together, to belong, to care, to share, to do all that sort of stuff. And the people we connected with also give us, I think, the strength and the courage and the guidance and the āwhi or the support to be ourselves, to be strong enough to be ourselves. So that's also so important. And of course, it's the whānau is in terms of Māoridom, but I'm of Irish extraction with a name like Kitty, it gives you a clue. You know, the ancestors, the Celtic way too, is that our ancestors, tipuna, the ones who have gone before us, are also part of our family. We're all connected. So we're here, but there's lots of people behind us and beside us and in front of us when we are here. So family is so important too. And then the taha hini ngaro, which is the mental health, our mental health, I guess. And that's all about how I see myself, how I think, how I feel, how I'm together in myself, spiritual being, physical being, psychological being, mind being. So that's where these things all integrate. It's the hini ngaro is how we see ourselves, how we see the universe, and how I say who I am, how I claim my identity. And I think those models, those four walls of the house built on the foundation of the whenua, are as good today as they were in the 1980s, because it's simple and it makes sense. So Challenge 2000 now works with over 5,000 young people a year. We have social workers and youth workers in the four Porirua colleges and the two lower decile, although that's changing, our lower hut colleges, Taita and Nainai College. We run all sorts of programs for kids who are very, very, very alienated, oppressed and on the margins of our society. We run programs for young people who can't go to school. They're so anxious they can't get out of their rooms. Or if they do manage to get to school, they're not there for very long. And if you can think of families, like we run a food bank. If you can think of human need around those te whare tapa whā things, that's what we do, basically. The unusual thing about Challenge as well is there is no point in the ambulance just being at the bottom of the cliff the whole time. We're not just a welfare group, we are a social transformation group. So I'm proud to say that over the 34 years, we have developed some amazing leaders. Young people who came to us when they were in the fifth form or sixth form and have learnt by accompanying some of the people who they would never normally have got together with. So for example, I'm thinking of a young woman who now lives in Auckland. Not that I'm saying this about all the areas of Wellington, but she did come from Kandala. She would tell us this story herself. And some of the first groups she was involved in were the young Samoan community from Newtown. Kids from Kandala and kids from Newtown generally don't get together and work on projects. We can be quite compartmentalised. They did. That's one of the things we do. We try and develop leadership, which we're into social change and social transformation. By teaching people cerebrally, the learning thing, but also by teaching people to use their hands to serve. So that's a really big, I must just say this plug, because one of the people, some of you know, I'm so proud of, I met when she was 15, and she was on our leadership programs, there's a woman called Helen Robinson, who's now the Auckland City Missioner. And, you know, I went to her, handing over to her to take on the Auckland City Mission. I was just so proud. I could hardly sort of, I mean, I didn't have it myself or anything, but like just thinking that that works and it works. So we challenge different communities, different traditions, churches, systems, governments, departments, courts to actually live according to what they're supposed to do. Anyway, that's the framework. So when it comes to the media, what are my concerns? Everything Abby said. Just let's look at young people for a minute. So one of the tasks of adolescence, well, there's four tasks of adolescence, really. One is to establish your identity, that hini naro, and that wairua, who am I? Where do I fit? Who likes me? Where am I in terms of my sexuality? Where am I in terms of my academic ability? Where am I in terms, which is the second one, about my body? Do I like my body? What sort of body am I having? Am I too fat? Am I too thin? Is my nose too big? So identity, which is related to body image, there are two of the things. The next one is, who do I fit with? Who will like me? Who will be my peers? Who will I fit in with? And then the last task of adolescence is independence. Can I stand on my own two feet? Am I strong enough to contribute to the world and to do what I can do? When it comes, oh, can I also say, like, I think media and technology and all those things is also a God-given gift. So I'm not against any of that. Like, everything that we create, I believe, is part of that, is part of the world, is part of our own integration and society's integration. The difficulty is when those are the four things of adolescence, some of the young people I work with find that really challenging. Because if you Google something like attractive young woman or attractive young man, or, you know, who gets the most boys or who gets the most girls, up will come all this information and pictures, plenty of pictures that are usually edited, so everyone looks beautiful. You know, the truth is, we are all beautiful, and in our beautifulness, some of us are pretty bloody ugly. You know, like, depending on how you look at things. I mean, I was never going to be a ballerina. You know, I might have wanted to, but I was never going to be. You know, like, we are who we are. And so one of the challenges of Facebook, Instagram, all of these things, is the image that people are being portrayed. That's one of the problems. Another problem, which I've experienced, is because people have, you can Google anything and stuff will come up. Like, I'll never forget one of the worst experiences I had a long time ago with my 10-year-old niece. She was doing a project on the White House in the States. And so I Googled the White House, and up came a porn site. It was a prostitute's. There obviously is a White House somewhere in the States where you can get what you want. I mean, all I did was turn it off because I didn't even know what I'd done, you know. And that was worrying to me then. There's more and more of that that they can have access to, which is telling them how, remember its identity, remember its peer influence, telling them how to be or what makes a good thing or a good relationship, which is basically, you know, which is basically very, very wrong. So self-image is often, certainly on some of the stuff I've seen, they're forcing young people to compare themselves with others. It's ironical, they can only be themselves. So on the very same things, if you Google, I mean, it's worth doing this someday, just don't do it at work, they'll probably arrest you. You know, anything if we were to put in, I don't know, like, you know, Christianity and sexuality, there'll be all sorts of stuff comes up. And so that's another problem. Misinformation, racism, sexism, any of the phobias, all of these things, I'm going to have to hurry, all of these things are causing real problems for our young people. Party ads, car accidents, all of those sorts of things, they're all over Instagram, they're all over Snapchat, they're all over everything before anyone can answer, before, far, far faster than young people, I think, can can manage them. For us older people, it's scams. It is reducing, I mean, there's lots and lots of research, and Abby referred to some of it. It is known to reduce concentration. Teachers are having real problems. Kids have lots of browsers open, so you look at stuff constantly. You know, you've got four or five browsers open. It's also making it more difficult, I think, because of that impulsive nature, to manage emotions, manage feelings, and even learn how to filter what is right, what is wrong, what isn't so good. Even things like Xbox and that, I mean, there's all sorts of media, Netflix. One of the things that I've worked with young children, trying to explain to them that if you hit someone and hurt someone, they just don't get up. Like, their reality is so different to our reality. What can we do? I'll move on to that. What can we do? Well, using that model, whānau, I think we all need to commit to real relationships. I'm not saying, as Abby was, we shouldn't take away their access to things, but we need to stress the importance of being together. Kanohi ki te kanohi. Face to face, that's the only way we can learn to navigate. I can text you, I hate you. It's much harder for me to say I hate you when you're next to me. It's artificial relating. So I think that we need to stress the importance of being together. I think we adults too, I think COVID is actually being used as an excuse now to stop people relating to each other. Because we're all afraid and we haven't got in touch with what we're afraid of. Let's not make those things that were the exception the norm. We don't need Zooies and Hooies and team meetings and Zoom. We need more of this. Because that's the way we relate to each other. That's the way we see each other. There's a lovely story I like about a migrant child who wasn't doing any good at school at all. And so the teacher went and visited the home and spoke to the parents about it as well as they could. The kid suddenly, term later, was like this. And they thought, we must find this out for the other children. So they went to the place. The only difference was the grandma, who didn't speak any English, was sitting with the child while he was doing his homework, rubbing his back. That's all. And that's everything. Contact is so important. We need to reach out humanly and to pay attention. We need to get off our phones ourselves. We're on them too much. You know, I think we need to stop being accessible by phone. In terms of use and the things we're saying about kids, there is a thing called the Goldilocks thing, which is, it's not too hot and it's not too cold, it's just right. Every family has to work that out. Every person, I think, has to work out what's right for them. Taha tinana. The thing about these things is we can carry them around. Remember that our ancestors wrote on caves. They wrote their stories on caves. Some of our ancestors had tablets. I mean, bigger ones. You know? We used to carve our truth out of stone, in stone. We used to have to go to libraries. You had to actually move and carry the books. You know, you don't. These are very light. All they're going to do to us is make us like this. In fact, look at your hands. Start looking at your hands. I'm sure my hands are very different to my mother's because we're always like this. Okay? So we need to make an effort. Motion and imagination and creativity is equally important. We need also, perhaps for Taha Tinana, to do transition rites, to start doing rites of transition from different ages, because if we don't do those, some traditions do it much better, how do people know they're growing, and how do they recognise that their bodies are also growing? We need to promote the importance of our faith traditions, I think, too, and how the relationship and creation is so connected, and our gods, or whoever, whatever our faith tradition is. What you're saying about being outside, in the sun, up the mountain, with the tree, with the grass. And we've got to do lots more, but we'll do that at another time. the final thing, is the other thing, is just to... Viktor Frankl was a great favourite of mine, Man in Search of Meaning. That's the other thing. If we want to get rid of these things with our children and reduce them, We have to give them a why. That's where I think each of our traditions, if we can actually find better ways, and we might even use media to do it, to give our kids a why, spirituality and faith, Wairuatanga, I think, is going to be one of the most critical things in keeping our planet alive. Thank you.